You're connected to CMN Network.
That ain't DVF.
Dude, it is early for you. My goodness. You already been to the gas station? 88 or you ain't.
I made a coffee this morning.
Ah, there you go. A little less sugar in your caffeine.
More, actually, because there's creamer in it. I only drink sugar-free stuff.
You got an early meeting or something, or are you just up and at them early?
Just up and at them, wishing it was Friday.
I feel like this has been the longest week ever. I felt like Tuesday should have been Thursday.
Yeah, that's about where I'm at.
And I'm dying over here. I got a half day tomorrow because I'm going to run up north and fish over the weekend, and it's like, it can't come fast enough. Can't get out of this city fast enough.
I don't even have anything to look forward to on this next couple days here. Just not going to work.
Yep. Gotta see, you got something to do Saturday now.
Yeah, I'll do that, and then I'll go through the rest of that task book. There's a couple things. Oh, Winlink. I gotta teach myself how to do Winlink. I've been procrastinating that forever.
Yeah, I just logged in. I didn't find the task book yet. When I get to my desk this morning, I'll find that, print it off, and start checking boxes.
It's under the Resources tab, Documents, and then if you scroll down, you'll see D2 Task Book or something. So I was going through it last night, and it's not terrible. I've got 80% of it done. I got to do the nets, and obviously the set will count this year, so I've got that going for me at least. But yeah, I got to terminate a PL-259, which is comical because I literally just did that when I got a new truck. I got to terminate a power pole, which I do, I swear to God, once a week it feels like. Put a go kit together, which I already have a handful of them. So it's really just the training and the participation I got to do. And then, oh yeah, front panel program a radio in front of a ham.
Yeah, it's a bunch of generic tasks, I would imagine, especially at the beginning because they need people to be in the group. They can't make the test so hard that not many people can get it done. The only thing you said that I don't know how to do is terminate a PL-259. So I got to figure that out.
Luckily, I've got some cheap Amazon ends that I'm never going to use, so I can use those for that. Just cut a section of cable, strip it, and terminate it. I think that's what it means. I don't know. I hope it doesn't mean screwing it onto a radio or an antenna. But yeah, I don't know. It's kind of cool. There's a bunch of stuff in there that I got to check off. I just don't know, like, who proctors that. Like, who's going to be like, yeah, you did it, you know? Like, do I have to do that in front of one of the board members, Wally, Sean?
If I remember correctly, they were talking about it one time when I was at one of the meetings. And they basically were like, yeah, just record yourself with your phone, and then ultimately they'll tell you where to send it. So you could just terminate a power poles and on video and do the PL-259 on video and send it to them. I don't think anybody in this group has enough time that they can sit around and expect you to do that in front of them.
True. That's a good idea. So the GoPro, where two POVs.
Next thing you know, you're spending hours editing Anderson power pole terminations. That'd be awful video to watch.
I've done so many of those that I can terminate them as fast or faster than an RJ45.
Yeah, I've done my fair share. I can do them pretty quick. I haven't done it in quite a while, so it'd probably take a minute to get back in the swing of it, but that is probably one of the best kits I ever bought, was the kit to terminate Anderson power poles, because I use that for everything.
Yeah, I'm due for an order. I'm getting low on, 15, 30, and 45 amp, whatever the middle one is. I'm getting low on those, and I'm actually low on the big ones, too. And I'm running out of boots. Everything I get, right? Any radio, any battery, anything, any of those NOCOs. I bought a terminal connector for the NOCO, and I cut that off with power poles on it. So I got that in my backpack at work. I got my Dakota Lithium one came with, I don't even know what, some stupid alligator clips or something. I cut those off, put power poles on it. Everything gets a power pole. If it's 12 volt, that's what it gets.
You know that battery bank that I showed you that I was putting together? Those were hilarious. Those ring terminals were hilarious. I bought a crimper, and then I couldn't get them to set. And it was driving me nuts, and this crimping kit that I bought was like $55, and so I talked to a friend that is a mechanic, and he was like, oh no, you don't use that, they use solder slugs. So finally I found a place that had these 4-gauge solder slugs, and man, what an easy task it was once I started using those. I just put the ring terminal adapter in a vise, dropped this slug in there, threw a torch on it, and boom, I was connected. It was so easy.
I was going to say, those look pretty damn big to try to crimp. What are those? What size terminal were those?
It was 4-gauge wire.
Yeah, I don't think you're crimping that unless you got a hydraulic crimper.
Yeah, and I almost bought one. Luckily, I didn't. I mean, they're on Amazon for $60, $70, but I was, the slugs are like $1.25 a piece, and it's like a gift, man. I bought a bunch of extra ones. I think on the other battery bank that I'm going to build, I'm going to probably use 2-gauge. Or zero, so I got to go buy some new ring adapters and some different size slugs. But man, it was the easiest thing. I couldn't believe how easy it was.
Every now and again, you just come across something that's like, oh my God, someone thought about this, and it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I told him, I said, hey man, I'm so glad you told me about these things, because I may have scrapped the whole project if I wouldn't have. It was just something I never thought of. I didn't know how it happened, and he was like, oh yeah, we did it all the time, blah, blah, blah. Hey, cool. It was great. It was like the best solution you could ever come up with.
I need to figure out a battery solution. I don't need anything that gigantic. I do need, I don't know, if I can find a 100 amp that's not too big and I can fit it in an ammo can, that would be ideal, but probably a 50 to 80 amp hour would be the sweet spot, and then I'm just going to build that out into a battery box. Not like I'm going to use it for much, but just so I have it for all my 12-volt goodies. I have a Blue Eddy. I forgot how many watt hours it is, but 205 watt hours, so I don't know what that is in amp hours, but if the 12 volt connection is only 10 amps, I think, so I can't do much radio stuff with it.
Yeah, I am, I'm using this. My theory on this is I have a 2,000 watt power inverter, and I'll be able to use this to power just about everything in my house for some short amount of time at least, you know. It's pretty beefy. There's a Jeep Wrangler in front of me right now that the license plate is ammo. That's pretty funny.
I love when people advertise.
Yep. It's like, guess what's in here? You want to come break in? You'll get something fun.
Oh, Tim sent me the Skywarn training, too, by the way. So I don't know if you were able to find it or not, but he sent me that. So I got that. I'll do that today or tomorrow or however it works. I don't know if it's a scheduled thing or if it's just an online course or whatever.
When I did it, it was just an online course. It was about an hour, and they just give you some rough details on things that should be reported and things that shouldn't be reported. And some of it's kind of interesting how they have like a system that they can judge the wind speed, the estimated wind speed by the size branches that came down. Just because they know, like, the strength of trees and stuff. Some of it's kind of interesting. Some of it's like, okay, let's just get through this. Okay, cool. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm going to hop out of the car and grab some gas real quick. I don't need hardly any, but I'll be right back.
So I'm not going to run around with my Kestrel? All right, got it. NADBF.
Oh, no, you could totally run around with your Kestrel. That'd be fun. Man, it's a good thing that you got gas in your truck earlier this week. I think it's went up 20 to 30 cents since I filled up earlier this week.
Yeah, I just passed the gas station. Not even the one that rips me off. It was $4.79.
Wow, I'm at BJ's Wholesale right now, and it's $4.
Yep, I think it's about time I get a Costco membership.
Yeah, the problem is, though, is the closest one for you to access is probably that one on Hall Road, and that one's a disaster all the time. But I bet if you got gas on your way in early in the morning, there wouldn't be many lines.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That would be when I'd fill up. This 32 and 53 thing, I don't know what they're doing. I've never seen anybody work out here. They're idiots. It's backed up like a mile again. I thought, you know what, I'm early today. It won't be bad. I'll just squeak through, only have to wait a minute. Nope, it's backed up like a mile. But yeah, that's kind of my plan, is just swing in before or after work. I hate doing anything after work other than getting home. So yeah, probably before work, go fill up and be done with it. So I might have to do that today.
Yeah, you know, I almost exclusively buy gas at Costco and BJ's, my gut says that I save on average 20 to 30 cents minimum a fill-up. So, I mean, it quickly becomes worth it if you're getting gas there all the time, as much as you and I drive. You save a good amount of money.
Yeah, I'm one tank a week minimum. I mean, for work, it's one tank. What is that? Yeah, one tank for work. I'm getting 18 miles a gallon. So it's not like I'm doing anything outside of that. But yeah, I mean, even if I saved, well, for example, you're filling up for $4. I just saw it for $4.79. So times 18 gallons, which is usually what I put in, you know, it's like $17.
Right. And the membership is, what, $50, $60 for a regular one? So, you know, you kind of make that up in four fill-ups. So in 1 month, you can make your membership back and then you start saving money. That's kind of an easy decision if you want to make the decision to just get gas there as often as possible.
Old habits die hard, but that's one that I definitely need to break, is going to that gas station by the house. Well, hell, if I'm going to get a Costco membership, I can just start ordering a flat of Monster, too, and save money there.
Well, that's the thing. It escalates from there, right? But you also got to be careful. You can go in there and spend a crap load of money on stuff you think you need and you want, but it escalates quickly.
I have not set foot inside of a Costco building in probably 7 years, maybe longer.
Yeah, it's pretty obnoxious. I love going in there. It's hilarious. And their deals on their TVs are awesome, too. So if you need TVs or anything like that, it's worth it.
I can't believe you become a member, then you're missing the first damn set.
Well, when you have dates that you go places that are set in stone for the last 15 years, you can't really change it. I don't know. It is what it is.
I know. I'm just messing with you. It's easy for me to say because I don't have anything planned at all this weekend. I mean, I still don't even know what's going on this weekend.
And I'll be able to check in. It'll be fine. I'll be able to quote unquote virtually check in. I'll have DMR with me, and then I'll be able to hotspot into either the 7.2 or into FBI wherever they need me for some amount of time.
That was the whole thing that got me looking at batteries. I was like, dude, I've got a 10 amp hour. How long is that going to last?
Well, this is certainly a good way to find out, or even get out with that 857 one day soon and do a POTA and see how that battery burns down.
So I put my meter on it when I charge it, and 2 days on the Motorola commuting, so that's 2 heavy days of talking. It's just over 5 amp hours that I charge it up. So I don't know. That's probably, what, 4 hours of continuous talk time?
Yeah, that would make sense.
So in theory, that's about 7 hours in the real world of doing anything with it. So that's not terrible, I guess.
No, that's not terrible, because you're also assuming, and I mean, maybe it's a reality right now, but you're also assuming that you don't have access to recharge it, or you can't hook it to your truck to either recharge the battery or just to run the radio.
Well, that's been the thing, is I've been brainstorming how to mount this in the truck. I really don't want to waste the $300 Armalock it's got on it, but I don't take it out, or it doesn't go in any other vehicles anymore.
Well, here's a silly question that you'll love. How much was the radio, and how much is the Armalock? Would it make more sense to just buy another radio?
In any other world that's not Motorola, yeah, but I've got, what did I pay? I think I paid like $450 for the radio plus the new head. So I'm like $525-ish. And I bought the new mic. That was $100, so $625. So I don't know. What would be ideal, right, is I find a clean mint 4550 and replace my 5550 in the Armalock with that, and then put the 5550 in the truck.
That was my next suggestion. That could be the way to do it.
Yeah, I think that is the proper way, because you don't really need, like, for example, I can barely even see the screen right now. Holy crap, my truck just got smoked by a rock. I don't even need the screen right now, so I don't need the color display and all that. A 4550 would be fine.
Yeah, that would be perfect. And you don't need the fancy radio in the bag that you're going to take and beat up. So that might be the optimal way of getting it done.
Damn it. More money. Let me know if you come across any, but that might be what I do. I still don't know how I'm going to mount it in the truck, though. That's the problem. This no remote head stuff is frustrating. I mean, there is a way to do it, but I think the kits are $200.
Yeah, those, are you talking about, like, the handheld that is just mounted on your dash that has, like, the keys and has everything right on in hand, kind of like what Sean has? Those things are freaking sweet.
So that's the other option, which I would prefer than buying a $200 remote kit and another $400 or $300 4550, is just buy one of those for $500-$600, and then I could put this radio in the center console, run a power pole to it, the antenna's already right there, and then I'm done.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. And honestly, something like that could get me to make the switch over to a Motorola in my car, to not have the head like on my dash and everything. That would be fantastic.
You're connected to CMN Network.
NADF. Yeah, that's kind of what I've been thinking. That's other than the fact that they're ungodly expensive for what they are, I think that's probably the move, and that I don't have to buy another radio that'll seldom get used.
Yeah, I think you're probably, we keep talking about it, but it's just a matter of selling other gear, rehoming things, and then doubling down on the things that we know we want.
Yeah, that's the ticket. Selling the crap I have that I don't know why it's not moving. Give me one sec. I got a call coming in, NADDF.
Sounds good. KD8, are you standing by?
All right, I'm back.
All the important phone calls before 7 o'clock. I know how that goes.
That one, luckily, fortunately, was my son, so I'll take that one every day of the week. But, yeah, I do my best not to answer the work calls anymore unless I absolutely have to, depending on who it is.
Yeah, well, luckily, I'm the only one that's in at this early, so if somebody from work is calling me at this time, it's a disaster. So I don't usually get those calls this early.
Yeah, we start rolling, some of our trucks are rolling at like 3 in the morning, so our operations only shut down for a handful of hours each night. So these guys just are relentless. And I thought, you know what, morning shift, no big deal. I'm always a morning guy anyway. I was like, it'll be nice and quiet. I'm there an hour before everyone else gets in. No. I looked at our ticket analytics the other day. 80% of our tickets come in between hours of 8 a.m. and 12 p.m. So I'm just getting hammered the whole time I'm there. The other guy I work with meanders in at 9:45, 10 o'clock sometimes. Then he works for maybe an hour. Then he orders lunch, takes lunch. And then next thing you know, it's 1 o'clock. I leave at 4, and then he's there the later shift, but everyone leaves at 5. So then he's really only dealing with people for 3-4 hours a day.
Yeah, you know, that sounds nice, but then, in my opinion, and you'll probably feel this way more and more as your kids get older, then you're stuck at work until 5, 6 o'clock, and then you have to drive home, which is another 45 minutes or so, you'd feel like you were never home. So the morning shift's better, in my opinion, even though you work your butt off.
Yeah, I would change it. I'm not staying there till, well, God, for when we had our old boss, I worked from 7 to 6 most days, so that was living hell. The only plus side of staying that late is you don't hit any traffic on the way home, but yeah, I'm not giving up the morning shift ever. I like leaving at 4. I don't care what I got to do in the 9 hours I'm there before I leave. 4 o'clock it is.
Yeah, I would, I don't want to be up any earlier than I am, but if I could work 6 to 2:30, I would.
Oh, 100%. I'm up at 5 anyway. What difference does it make? I might as well go get paid for it.
Absolutely.
Where is everybody?
I was just thinking that. I don't think we've been on an island like this in a long time. Usually somebody else is jumping in.
88, W-O-S-K-88. How's it going?
I heard Rick in one other station. Rick, go ahead and pass it over to the other station.
Good morning, guys. Just wandered in from my morning feeding chore here. I turned on the radio, just the two of you, and I thought, something's going on somewhere where everybody's sleeping in. That breaker, go ahead. This is K-A-A-U-H-T, Steve. So over to the station. Sean's the one that made the comment, so I'll send it back over. Send it over to Sean.
I don't know that Sean's in here this morning. It's K-E-8-R-U-H. Glad to hear a couple other people out here. Throw it over to Dakota.
Yeah, I didn't hear him either, but then again, we have been kind of quick keying, so whoops, sorry. Go ahead, Rick.
Oh, no problem. I had a little trouble getting up this morning. I started some physical therapy yesterday evening kind of thing. I guess it kind of wore me out. I didn't want to get out of bed, so I was a little bit late getting out and feeding the cat there, and she chewed me out a little bit for that. She got over it when I got a handful of food for her. And I was surprised it was high 30s over here. I was like, geez, I don't think winter's ever going to let go. Doggone it, I don't know where it goes now.
I pick it up. This is Steve, K-A-A-U-H. I'm a Saint Clair Shores. Yeah, I just was making myself some avocado toast before I get into a job myself. And I thought I heard you. Usually I usually sometimes jump in after Sean makes his coffee run, but anyway, let's see. Then I don't know who to send it to. This is K-A-A-U-H-T.
Hey, Steve, no worries. Fellow East Sider here, K-E-8-R-U-H, Anthony. I'm in Grosse Pointe Woods. So, surprised I haven't heard Sean. And usually there's, in the last couple of days, Chad that's over on the west side of the state's been jumping in. So it was just, it was crickets this morning. Dakota and I had the whole ride in. So, yeah. Dakota, this will probably be my final K-E-8-R-U-H. I got to get to it this morning. Everybody have a good day, and I'll throw it over to Dakota. Talk to you guys soon.
All right, dude. Have a good day. I'll talk to you. And probably because I was actually early today. I don't even know what time I got in the truck, but it's 7:04, and I'm at 23-mile road. I'm usually just now leaving the house sometimes, so just making my way in. But, yeah, it's weird when the usual roundtable is not here. Go ahead, Rick.
Yeah, 7-3's here. I think it was Anthony. I was kind of a little bit surprised, too. I was kind of anxious to get out of the cold and back into the house and listen to what was going on there. But, geez, I had to fill up last night. I got a little car that's pretty easy on gas and haven't had to fill up in a while. And $56 for that tanky car to fill up. So you guys with the trucks, I appeal for you. And then Dakota, when I was working, I always found that the day flew by a whole lot faster when you were busy or swamped, you know what I mean? You were just working away, the day flies by, but when you got almost nothing to do kind of thing, you're just sitting around, it just creeps. You're looking at the clock. It seems like 10 minutes takes about a half hour, 45 minutes kind of thing. So, I always thought it was a good thing to be buried in work. KEAWOJ.
Okay, up there, let's see what you say. Anthony and Dakota and the other one, I had the name and I lost this here. 73 to Anthony. Yep. Anthony sometimes checks into the double nickel net on Mondays over the time. But yeah, I listened to a little bit about the shift there for a number of years, many years, some time ago. I did support for Europe. So they're about 5 hours different. So can tell you all about different shifts working and support and all that, just support and development and analysis too. So doing a business analysis. So depending on what part of the accounting cycle it was for the year, I'd take on different tasks and stuff. So there are certain monthly ones we added, quarterly and on annual. So over to Dakota. This is Steve, KE8UHG.
Good morning, Steve. I think I got your call. Alpha 8, I think, UHT. I don't know if I've ever heard of K-Alpha, so good morning. And I totally agree. I would rather be busy and blink and go like yesterday. I mean, I'm like, holy crap, it's 4 o'clock. I got to go. I almost feel guilty. I shouldn't at all. But I'm like, wow, I feel like I just got here, which is a great feeling because then I'm leaving. I enjoy what I do. I'm not one of those guys who thought I hate going to work. I don't mind it, but we're at a tipping point of we need to expand the team, so it's tiring. But yeah, I would much rather be busy than not, and I'm glad that I don't have any scheduled outside typical business hours. I mean, don't get me wrong, we still do our fair share nights, weekends, and early mornings, but at least all that stuff's quick, one-off, remote issue. It's not a consistency. Rick, go ahead.
Yeah, one of my favorite jobs was controls, designing controls, and not just designing them. Once it got built, you had to make it run kind of thing, and tooling. And for modern engineering, and we started at 6 a.m., over in Troy 15 and John R., and we got up at 6, so they were 12 hours days, but I enjoyed the heck out of it. Like you say, if you enjoy your work, you never really work a day in your life, but once the machines got out on the floor kind of thing, then it changed. Down in Atlanta, I was working 105 hours a week kind of thing. It was insane, but the overtime was real good. Steve, go ahead.
Yeah, okay, Rick. Yeah, I worked a little bit for a subsidiary of Modern Engineering. It's, off and on, and I think in that same building. What is it? Was it backed up to, one of their offices was, there's one on, I think right on 15 miles. The other one was on Stevenson Highway. That's the one kind of there, but, it was an old, I think, Troy Airport or something like that at one time. And, I worked a lot of overtime, too, a lot of hours. And, I'd go in at, one time for closing the books, I'd say, okay, instead of me going home thinking I'm going to sleep, because when we're closing the books and there's 5 hours difference, and get a call because some system started and there's a fail, come and cover my system, and I'll come in at 1 a.m. And that five-hour difference, I'd be there, and I'd cover the overnight systems, and then my European customer And then if I'm still there at noon, you know, people would see me there, like, still at noon, or and they'd be going, oh, you know, there must be a problem. And then they would jump in and help me. And it was kind of interesting. And then I would be going, there once there was a snowstorm one year, big blizzard created some issues for like 3 days. So people would talk about how they were leaving for home, and they turned around because they couldn't get off of Mercury Drive over in Dearborn and stuff like that. And so I had already cleared all that. Okay, over to Dakota.
Sounds like a good way to make some money, but it also sounds terrible. You're just like in a never-ending loop. People keep coming and asking me for stuff, and the shifts keep changing, but you're still there. Fortunately, I've not had to do that yet. Rick, I don't think I've ever worked that many hours in a single week. That's crazy. I don't know. I'd have to sit down and think about what the most I've ever worked was. There was, I don't know, maybe a couple 14s and 12s 1 week, but that was an exception. I don't think I've done that in a long, long time. But I am pulling in my driveway, speaking of work here. I'm going to clear out, and I'll be out here this afternoon. Steve, nice to meet you. I don't know if I've ever talked to you. And Rick, I'm sure I'll talk to you probably this afternoon. Everyone have a good day. I'll listen out. NADBF.
Okay, 73 is Dakota, and keep busy and the tail fly right by. Catch you later. 88WOJ. Steve?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we probably talked in some round table there over the months or years or so. So, so yeah, about the K. Yeah, there's a number of K8s out here. You know, everyone changes their call all the time, like Sean and some of the other folks. But yeah, there's a few out here. And it was my novice call, I thought. And I got my general in a few months later, and then thought I was going to update to advance and have a 2x2, and you know, life got in the way and never happened. Okay, 73, Anthony. So Rick, okay. So what did you do over at Modern Engineering? Because did you ever get to the place that they had on Stevenson?
Well, I went into the Novi plant over there as a contractor, building some tooling to help them meet a deadline over there. And they liked my work, so they kept me. Once the tooling got shipped out, they got rid of all the contractors but me. And they kept me there for another couple months. And I was like, man, I don't know how they're getting away with this, you know. And then finally somebody in the front office, some bookkeeper in the front office said, you know, why are we still paying a contractor? The tooling's gone. We don't have any deadlines. So they had to get rid of me. But anyway, they asked me if I'd come back full-time. They had a bunch of more work coming in. So I said, yeah, sure. And about a month later, they called me. And so anyway, I went in there because it was, you know, modern. They just had buildings all over the place, tons of work and stuff. So I went in there. As soon as I went in there, they ran out of work. Chrysler pulled a job, and they knew I could be working the next day, so they sent me to engineering and to update prints. And once I got in engineering, I just didn't want to leave. It was we were designing controls for the tooling, like robotic door lines and stuff. And what an awesome job. I just loved the heck out of that.
Oh, it sounds interesting, right? You know, back some years ago, they, back in the 1990s, early 2000s, you know, late 50s, yeah, it would have been somewhere in the 1990s later, what did they have? They had the, someone come up with this idea of using, like, visual engineering type of thing. So I forgot what the platform was, but things have changed over the course of time. It got mainstream. I forgot what the software was. I just forget because I didn't use that. But that was kind of the thing. With yeah, these two guys, they used to pick up resumes and stuff. Like they would have access to ones that these companies would cast off, and that's how they hired a number of people. That's how they kind of started this other division of a part of Modern Engineering. That was many years ago, though.
Yeah, it seems like that's about the time period I was over there, too. But, you know, like I said, they had so many buildings. But I was kind of tickled because I had no engineering degree or electrical engineering degree, but you were supposed to be an electrical engineer level 3, which is the lowest level, to be a controls designer. And I didn't go to school, but they also allowed, if you had a certain amount of years on the job and could, you know, could show you know what you were doing kind of thing, they give you the job anyway. So my boss kind of a GM, Gordon Chrysler, into that I had like 20 years experience and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So they had no problem. I went out on a couple of tools out to Atlanta there. The tool that was putting roofs on the U-vans, that was kind of interesting. That's where I put in those 105 hours there. The project engineer, that guy was doing about 115 hours a week. He didn't get a whole lot of sleep.
Yeah, I don't know what it was per week, but during like the year 2000 or like the casing, you know, for a couple months there, I had like 320 for hours 1 month billable, and 318 quite a few hours in themselves. I can relate to that, but you know, but I don't know if but I've never done 400 that I know of. But I could see some of the stuff was billable, but then there's other stuff that goes ancillary to the thing that it's spent more time on it and all. But never traveled. I would support all the other people that would travel, though. All different time zones, all that kind of thing. But, yeah, your project sounds interesting, you know, more hands-on how things work. My stuff is, you know, you'd see when they consolidated the books at one of the large auto companies, you know, that was my thing.
Yeah, I kind of felt bad for the project engineer because he was on salary, so he was working all them hours and really not getting any extra pay for it. That really kind of sucked, but I'm not sure what the incentive is for that. You know, I mean, it seems like you get tired of that real quick, but where else are they going to go kind of thing? And especially in the middle of a job, you know, you start working on one of these toolings and you were sort of committed for a year. It would take usually a year before it was designed, built, installed, and then up and running and producing stuff. So you were pretty much stuck with that project till it was done. If you bailed on them, they were like, you were like blackballed, so. You were kind of stuck. So I just figured I might as well enjoy it while I can. The tool I went down there on, somebody else designed. And he held the company ransom and got a huge raise and a different job. And I got stuck with his job. Hey, that kind of sucks.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. It's something how that works out. And, I know how that goes with the salary. It was kind of what it was. Years ago in GM's arm at EDS worked a bunch of hours and you're supposed to get, you know, like a bonus and stuff and get a new account manager and stuff, you know, that kind of thing and how that goes. So, you know, working, you know, just some crazy stuff and putting up with some other politics. Some people trying to steal my work. I was a young guy at the time. But I had skills. I had some, you know, more current, fresh skills and stuff. And so I tried to get off the account, and I had some friends and some others. So I said, hey, put me in a spot to, you know, instead of on the account, more in the controller's office. And I had like three of them, two of them, but I had at least three people, you know, being in my account manager's nixed it. So I had to finish some other projects, you know, and it wasn't fair, but... yeah, you know how that goes, you know. And then, yeah, there was some that developed like a user type of system, you know. And then they retired, and then I came over to the computer side of things to try to make this thing work, and I got involved with that. You know, I know how that goes. It's KAUHG.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
Yeah, I enjoyed the heck out of that controls job. I wrote a couple programs because I got a little upset. I thought, you know, the computers are supposed to be working for us, not us working for the computer kind of thing. Because GM would come in with a tool they wanted, a tool they were going to wanted to have built, and they'd have a stack of 60 prints and the files for those prints. And they'd say, we want it designed kind of like this one kind of thing. And then the first thing is some poor detailer to have to spend 2 days changing all the title blocks and, you know, the project engineer's names and, you know, the names of the files to the new job number and all this stuff. And I thought, well, that's just a piece of cake. So I wrote a Visual Basic program, and I could do the job in about 10 minutes. the form would write a script, AutoCAD, fire up AutoCAD, and start doing the drawing. And out and had a cigarette. I'd come back in, and I wrote a batch plot program for it, so I'd fire up the whole 60 prints kind of thing. I'd go have another cigarette and come back in. The job was done. I'd go back to the lead engineer. He just gave me the job 20 minutes ago, half hour ago, thinking that'd keep me busy for 2 days. Everybody was getting paid by the hour from GM, so all I did was cheat our company out of 2 days detailer's pay.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying there. Yeah, and that's what I did. I said, you know what, that's what I ended up doing, you know, after all that crazy stuff. I said, hey, give me a job where they're going to pay me per hour, and they did. You know, if someone messes things up, you know, I still pretty much get paid as long as I don't mess things up myself too often, and it did work out better. So, some crazy stuff. But yeah, I can remember that those things, written my share of programs and scripts and all that kind of thing. And I'm gonna say, oh, yeah, we did have something for some when it came over to the computer side. These engineers on one of the projects, because they either had to be a revenue project or a cost savings project, you know, for the GM was to approve them. And with that, this one engineer, they had these engineers. They were some new design equipment. They were calculating like the heat of the devices and the offsets in the building and all that. The management didn't, you know, it's okay, I'll try to incorporate it somehow, but management didn't really appreciate their enthusiasm.
Yeah, I remember, I think it was GM, so somebody come up with this program, like it was something 9,000, it was a way of doing things and blah, blah, blah. And anyway, we've been keeping all the files, all the drawing files for all these tools and projects kind of stuff on floppies. That's what they wanted kind of thing. So we had just cabinets and cabinets, cabinets filled with floppies kind of thing. So I said, well, why don't we, CDs were getting pretty popular then. Why don't we do, why don't we start using CDs and you can do a whole job on one CD and still have a lot of room left because programming software and everything else in one CD. So they ended up doing that. It was kind of nice because it saves having all them floppies around.
Yeah, it probably didn't just deteriorate as quick. And ISO 9000, you know, like 9001, US Harmony 9000. ISO 9000, I think that's what you're talking about.
Yes, that was it exactly. Thank you.
Yeah, you then see different shops and stuff. They even have flags underneath the American flag out there to say, you know, whatever their company, NSA, ISO 9000, whatever, certified or how many ever they were on there with the little flags.
Yeah, right. I remember that, too. Yeah, it seemed to me that it was just another way of doing the same thing. And I've always been I pay attention to the outcome and how we get there. I don't really matter to me, but the ISO 9000, and he had to follow this step and this step and this, you know. I'm going to do as long as it pays. I'm okay with it.
Right, yeah. Then there's the people took on the, what's it, like the GE thing, what's his name, that was kind of known. He threw a lot of value into GE, you know, this was some years ago. Someone mentioned the name, I'd probably know. But anyway, they had Six Sigma, right? Six Mixed Sigma, and it could be a black belt, that is a gel, you know. And so they're looking for these way of doing things. So they wanted people like, what did they say, like leaders at every level. And they had these Six Sigma processes and training that the organizations went through.
So did I hear you say you were in St. Clair Shores? My grandparents lived in St. Clair Shores, and I kind of grew up in Roseville.
Oh, okay. Yeah, very good. Yeah, I am. I've lived here since 1988, but I grew up in Detroit, 7 and Chainer area. I'm an East Sider, and familiar with Roseville, and, you know, a lot of the East Side, I think, kind of more... Like, once you get, like, anyway, from Mound, maybe? I'm probably familiar more from Mound. When you get past west of Mound, and that's so familiar. But yeah, I know a lot of the East Side.
Yeah, I grew up just a little bit west of the Macomb Mall there. When I was there, it was a big farm field. It was a big farm, abandoned farmhouse and a barn right there, right across from Zombo's Market. And... on the southeast corner was the Bratchett Drive-In. Had that goofy I thought it was just neat, that little pony waterfall on the other side of the screen kind of thing, and they had colored spotlights that so the layers of falling water got different colors there. When you're a little kid, that was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, I bet. I remember going there. Yeah, I think we might have talked before. You might have mentioned it, Seth. Now that you say that, I think that someone mentioning some of those similar comments that you had about just west of Macomb Mall. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Gratchett drive-through went there many times. And that was gone by the time my daughters were young and then, you know, born and all that. But they live long enough, and the Gratchett Drive-In, they opened long enough for my daughters. You know, my daughters are old enough to go. We went to Gratchett. It was like the only one really around here by that time, like back in the late 1990s and such, I believe. And then that got sold, and I don't know what they developed there.
We ended up moving. We tried to go out in California. My parents didn't really like it out there, so back to Roseville we went, and then we lived at in between 11 and Martin on the east side of Gratchett there for quite a while. And then we ended up buying 20 acres out in between Lakeville and Leonard there. That was nice. I liked kind of moving. Back then it was country, and... I kind of like moving. I got in a lot of trouble in Roseville. But anyway, I apologize for, I don't remember who I tell what anymore, so I probably do repeat a few stories. KEAWOJ.
Oh, no problem. Yeah, I forgot, too. You know, I recognize the voice and all that, but don't remember what we talked about. But, yeah, I'll get a chance to move around a little bit. And, yeah, and I moved here. I remember I'd take dogs to the north because I'm on the north side of the city, and there's still some plots, you know, like people, like the older homes and stuff. And I think it was until they put in that drainage, like, was it approved in Clinton Township? Because Harrison Township is up there, and all that, and slowly they got, you know, these little subdivisions went in. They put in, so there's not so many of those, tracts of land back up that way anymore, like between Harper and Jefferson and what is it, Shook or or the freeway in, you know, in the north end of St. Clair Shores. So things in the dirt roads that were there, I think they're all, I think they've pretty much just about all been paved now.
Yeah, that's where my grandparents were between Harper and Jefferson there, right near 14 Mile. And it was kind of nice because there was one of the original houses there, and a lot of the street was just a field kind of thing, you know, and then over the years it just, you know, grew right up and turned into a subdivision. But I always enjoyed the heck out of it, having Lake St. Clair right down the street. You could actually go out in the street and look and, you know, see that. And see that the lake was down there kind of thing. Always wanted to wander down there and fish, but I was always too little to, they wouldn't let me do that.
Yeah, probably just as well for safety. Well, I can do that right now. I can look and see a little sliver of the lake. I can see if I have, you know, but during COVID, I used to said, you know what, since I'm home and, you know what, the lake's right there and little slivers, you know, I never really spent that much time sometimes, you know, actually looking out in the lake. So since you got pinned down in COVID, went to, is it boat tracker or something? I forgot what it is. I figured out the longitude and latitude and type of thing, where the boats would be. And every once in a while, when I'd see in this little program, which is a little app that would come up, I would go look out, you know, and I would see different freighters. So I think there's like 15,000 foot freighters, and I think I've seen it come up there. Forgot how many I counted. I have to look at my little list, but probably at least 8 or 10 of those 1,000 footers.
Oh, cool. Every once in a while I get on the APRS.fi site, webpage there, and they have the people that are beacon, you know, got their beacons on for APRS, and quite often you'll see the breeders moving through the Detroit River there, and you can click on it, and it'll tell you about the ship kind of thing. Of course, I can't look out the window and see them like you did, though. I wish I could. It'd be some pretty superhuman vision there.
ADHWJ. Right, yeah. That's how, like you say, then people change things across the street, different people move in, and, you know, that different degrees of vision, you know, and a vision or a sight across there, and someone purchases out. They had a pretty decent, you know, a pretty consistent, you know, I could look and say, oh, see the waves. And they built, then they added on, then they added on, then there was a tree. And someone cut down the tree, then they grew, you know, I've been here long enough, then they grew a tree. so, you know, it changes, you know, so I don't have too much of a sight flying, but I'll go look every now and again, you know, so I haven't done it too much this year. But, yeah, it's all interesting. And, yeah, being over here to the north, yeah, I'm not too far away from what you're saying, like, yeah, because in St. Clair Shores, when it crosses Harper, it turns into the name Beverly, so that's 14 miles. And I think I counted there's more streets to the north here, because when you go on 14 mile at Harper is where St. Clair Shores starts, but if you go across where Beverly would be, because Harrison, because it goes on some kind of different angle, or the way the street's angle or something like that, there's like 10... It's like another 10 streets, you know, north of Beverly, which is 14 miles, you know. But you're then on that side, you're in Harrison Township. On the Harper side, that's Clinton Township.
Oh, okay. Boy, I haven't been there in a long, long time. My grandparents died a long time ago, so I didn't have any reason to head on down there. But anyway, Steve, I'm going to get on out of here and get some breakfast there. My stomach is chewing at my backbone, so I am going to get on out of here. It's a pleasure talking with you, and hopefully we can talk again soon. Have yourself a good, safe day, and we'll catch you later. AEHWOJ.
Okay, Rick. I think it's Rick. I fueled up here. I got some of this pretty good glorified avocado toast here, and I got to do a job, and then I got to go to a, I only have two, but I am in go to a funeral luncheon, and then help out with the Cinco de Mayo Memorial Day pre-pasta dinner this evening, because I'm involved with that on the radio side, and then turns out that my men's club over at church is helping host it this year for the first time, you know, at our site, so I got a full day ahead of me. Okay, and some meeting to do, too. Okay, 7-3, this is KA8UHC.
Yeah, that does sound like a full day. I'm getting tired just hearing it. Have a good one. Be careful, KA8WOJ.
Hey, BLA.
Hey, it's B-A-Y.
Connected to CMN Network.
Hey, F-U.
So what's the other daughter's name? Abby and what? I forget. I'm sorry.
Abby and Haley.
So what are you going to do for Haley, huh? Huh?
What do you know? I'd have to move to a country that serves the H.
There you go. Who would that be? And you could go get licensed in that country. HA, I think is that Hungary? Go get your license in Hungary.
Yeah, I'm not sure. They already said if Abby gets her if her ticket, I have to give up my call sign. I'm like, it doesn't exactly work that way.
Holy moly, look at the Starbucks. Good grief. I can't do that. I got places to be, things to do.
Sounds like a Timmy's day.
Yeah, I gotta be good. I gotta try to get some pounds off before August, so I could do Timmy's or any of them, just black coffee anymore. No more fancy foo-foo drinks for a while. Gonna start getting on the bandwagon. Family get-togethers in August, and it's a pool party. Oh-ho!
So you gotta get that dad bod in shape. this morning I had an interesting one. I took the Keurig and put the cup in and, you know, hit the start button and then, like, why does it sound weird? I looked over and the mug's still sitting next to the coffee maker, not underneath it. Just pouring right into the drip tray.
I've done that. That's fun. But, let's see, $4.89 regular credit. Chewy! $4.79 cash. Diesel, $6.50. Wow.
Yeah, that sounds like on the high end. I paid $4.29 yesterday, and there were people that were $4.19, but didn't want to go drive to them. But yeah, it was the morning. And of course, I put the lid on the mug and was wiping off all the stuff that dripped on it. And didn't close it and spill hot coffee in my hand, too, so it was like rough morning.
Oh, well, that's recoverable. You didn't notice it until it started overflowing? That sucks. Unless you can get it. As a matter of fact, one of my guys at work did that yesterday at work. He goes, oh, crap, I forgot the cup. And he's just sitting there looking at it. I go, well, put the cup under it now so you don't, so it doesn't overflow. Oh, yeah.
The drip tray didn't overflow. It took what I got. As soon as I unplugged it, so it stopped running. There's still a board cycle on the thing. Well, maybe if I lifted it, maybe if I lifted it, it would have shut it off. But I did the hard reset.
There you go. I'll tell you what, I like my Keurig, but it's a love-hate thing. The machines themselves, they're trash. I don't know, it seems like you only get so long out of them and then they start acting up. I bought a couple of fancy ones. I don't think I'm going to do that anymore.
Yeah, the one I got, I don't know, probably 2018, I think we got it. And still kicking, been dropped a few times. so, and still working. Had any issues in it. I watched the one Mr. Carlson's lab video. He had a Keurig and it quit working on him, and he pulled it open, and inside there's a thermal fuse that is resettable, but you can't reset it unless you take it apart. So I'm like, how many of these things just get hitched because they quit working, and all you had to do was go in there and stick a screwdriver in this fuse?
Yeah, I had one that did that. I figured it out. Had another one where the actual thermal couple thing went. So then I bought the fancy one that has Wi-Fi. It's supposed to keep track of how, you know, it counts all the cups. You know, when you get low, it automatically orders to get a super discount for getting them through them automatic. And since we always drink the same coffee, you know, but it's so bad. It's about hit and miss, 50-50, whether it's going to actually, you know, count the cup. So it was grossly inaccurate, and there's nothing I could do to, you know, to make it better. Read the top, and, you know, just, it knew you had, you know, 100 cups, and it's supposed to count, and then when you get down to whatever, it, you know, goes ahead and orders. Great concept, not implemented very well. And I could. I also found that if I shop carefully, I can watch for the discounts. I can find it. The one we like pops up on Amazon every now and again for a really good price. So I just nab it then.
Yeah, that's what I started doing. Is just order from Amazon. Was getting it from Sam's Club, and then who would I? I didn't get my own membership. I just started getting it from Meijer. Eventually, they started not being able to keep stock of it, so I started ordering from Amazon. And, that's been working out. But some things don't need Wi-Fi. Coffee makers are one of them.
Yeah, I agree. I forget what the deal was. I got the thing when it first came out. They offered it to me for, you know, cheaper than I could have got any other one. So I said, what the hell? Don't have to use that part. And he didn't for the most part, but I tried it for a little while. But that machine went belly up. The other fancy one I had, it got real noisy. I mean, real noisy. It was trash and HF everywhere. I couldn't even use my radio. It took me a while to figure it out, but when I figured it out, it was that coffee maker. It was like, huh, go figure. Just sitting there plugged in. Just generate all this hash and just trash my HF. So I sent that one packing and got a simpler one. And I haven't had that problem with any of the other ones ever since, but oh well. We got one that's kind of like mid-ish. It's not the lowest one, you know, where you gotta, it's got a reservoir and, you know, gotta have that, right? And you can select strength. You can do 6, 8, 10 ounce, and you can select regular or strong. And that's all I need.
Yeah, that's about what I got. Yeah, mine will, I guess I don't really notice noise on HF, but it definitely I noticed it with my old switch mode power supply. I hear like a pulsing noise coming from the power supply, like an audible noise. And it was just real faint. And then when I got the Astron, it just became like the Astron's like a drum. So I noticed that and put two and two together is when the coffee maker is on, it would make that noise. And but it's fine when it's been plugged in and turned off, but when it's, you know, heating and, I don't know, it's like, it's not the actual heating of it, it's like the sensing of the temperature or something, it generates a lot of noise, so it, it'll be, you know, just sitting here and it'll just kind of do a buzz, 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 and then it'll be quiet for a bit, and then it'll do another reading and you just hear the buzz, buzz, buzz.
All right, hold on. I'm not sure I caught that. So you had a switching supply that was making a faint noise, and then you said something about an Astron's like a drum. Astron's not noisy. That's the hallmark of a linear power supply. Well, I mean, Astron's are switchers. They make some switchers too, but how does the Astron and more noise come into play? That's confusing.
Not RF noise, audible noise. It actually makes a buzzing from the power supply with the transformer and everything. It was real faint with the switch mode because it's a much smaller transformer, you know, and the Astron, you got a big beast in there. So when I switched to the Astron is when I really noticed it because it was making a crazy noise and I thought something was wrong with the Astron. Then I remembered it sounded similar to the noise out here, real faintly from the switch mode.
All right, and again, I'm probably confused, but how is a Keurig coffee maker and an Astron linked? I don't know. They run off AC. I guess I just curious, really, but.
Yeah, throwing that noise out onto the on the AC line, I guess. But it definitely is linked because it only does it when the coffee maker is on, and they might. I'm trying to think they probably are on the same circuit, but not 100% on that, but. Yeah, they definitely
is
linked.
All right. Well, interesting. Man, this Starbucks has got 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm the fifth person before I get to the speaker. Good grief.
Yeah, this is the time everybody gets their Starbucks on their way to their 9-to-5s.
Man, I'm an hour into my shift already. What the hell?
Hey, I'm still 38 minutes from starting mine.
Yeah, I've never really worked in retail, so I would imagine there would be a rush related to that. But, my start times have always been between 7:30 and 8:30 my entire life. I started at 7:30, 8, and 8:30. I don't know that maybe when I had some, you know, job as a kid, but every real job, you know, 40-hour has been it's been like that. Did I ever work a weird shift? I don't know. I didn't. Yep, just always been. And the start times have always been, like I said, 7:30, 8, or 8:30.
Yeah, I usually shoot for 8 o'clock, but when I drop the kids off, school doesn't even let them in the door until 8:20. You're not allowed to leave them there until 8:20, so. And then we get a 30-minute drive in, so. But, yeah, it's, Our office, there's not a set start time. It's, you know, when you everybody kind of gets there sometime in the morning and you work and get your job done. So, and I only had one guy that used to work for us. He'd come in at like 10 o'clock and he'd be there till like 7:30 at night because he liked to sleep in and he'd get work done when nobody's in the office.
Oh yeah, I know that goes. We, we started really, really earlier. Worked after hours a few times for special projects and stuff, and you do tend to crank things out before the regular day or after the regular day. So, good deal. But what was I going to say? Oh, in your line of work, do you guys pay attention to cabin noise amongst the brands or at least amongst your models? I'm ordering, so if I don't answer.
Are you talking like NVH noise or radio noise or electrical noise? I'm sure there are groups that do that, but we're just the metal guys. We do some. My old job, we did some of the NVH treatments, but for the most part, that's different groups than us.
I thought that's what you did. I thought you did all the trim and stuff like that that keeps the cabin noise sealed, cabin sealed. I thought that was what you did.
That's what I was doing when I started there. We did all the sealers and plugs and stuff like that. We had some of the NVH treatments that go on the body itself. Get glued on and made stuff, but a few years ago, the boss said, "Hey, do you want to switch over to the welding team? We need got people retiring. We need somebody to pick it up." So I said, "Sure." I was kind of looking for a change anyway, so I hopped over the other aisle and started welding cars now. So I go through the CAD and tell them where every spot weld and all the adhesives go.
All righty. I wasn't really following. I thought you had something to do with that at one point. So you've moved onward and upward. So there you go. And, man, come on. Well, I guess I can go. This Starbucks was very efficient. Boy, they were just pumping them out. Anywho, my next stop is just up ahead here. I've got a meeting with some building contractors to discuss a renovation of a fire station. Always enjoy these jobs. So, I'm not going to turn here. So I am just about here. I will make this probably my last. W8FU appears.
Yeah, it was more onward and overwards. Still same level. But anyway, boss is trying to create a promotion for me, so we'll see when that ever happens, if it happens. It sounds like you get to spec up some new toys there at the fire station. That should be fun. 7-3-8-8-1.
Took me a little longer than I expected to make the sit and spin. I had to do a Michigan left to get where I'm going. So, but I am here now, so I will. What'd they do? Did they take down the fence? They did. I'll be damned. This other location over here, one of our dispatch centers, was all fenced in. Now it's not. All right, I'm here. We'll catch you later. W8FQ.
You're connected to CMN Network. connected to CMN Network.
Well, howdy, hey there, Dave. Good morning. Are you on the road?
Good morning. I am. I'm just making a left, heading westbound on Orion Road off of Rochester. So my signal's going to go up and down and up and down. You know, I wonder if that back dirt road in the Wall Mountain is still open. I'll try that way, but, you know, at some point, I think they close that, right? They make us go in the main gate off of Lapeer.
Yes, I've seen that situation before. I don't know what the regularity to it is, but all right, I'm a little bit behind you. I'm at, like, Tinkin and, I don't know, like Firehouse, I think. I think this is a high school coming up here. But anyway, so yeah, let me know.
Oh, okay. You're like 2 minutes behind me then. If you're just past going through those couple of roundabouts, there are two or three. I think there's three. No, two. I will let you know. I'm moving a little slow. I'm behind a huge dump truck, one that does blacktop dumping. I said dumping.
Better than that, you said huge dump. I am passing your sub right now, so I'm a little bit further back than I thought. But, yep, all right, just keep posted. 58 VFX.
Will do. I don't know if I'll have signal there. If I don't, I'll text you as well. KZAT.
Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
NAWRO. From W8RQ. NAWRO. W8FU.
NAWRO. I had the volume down, Sean. You calling?
Yeah, what's the place we're meeting at? I'm going to join you guys. Gathering grounds?
Yeah, I believe that's what Wally said. It's 32 mile across from the post office. It's right by Weeks Mark. Weeks is on the left. This place is on the right.
All right, I'm here now. I'm going to go inside and get a table for 10.
Copy. I'll be there shortly. Wally's calling at P25. I'll let him know.
All right. I'm kidding about table for 10. I think it's just the three of us. So, all right. I got some stuff I got to do up here, so I figured I'd join you guys for lunch. Then I'm bagging out early, but for bad reasons. Yeah, I got to go to a funeral. So, well, not a funeral, but a viewing. All right. Anyhow, I'm here. I'll hang loose a little bit and doesn't look like there's a big crowd, so we should be able to get a table no matter what. W8FU.
Yeah, gives you a lot of room in there. But, all right, we'll be there shortly. N8WRO, clear. And don't worry about the siren. We blow the siren every noon.
You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
KFASCH. Testing, just set up a base. In my barn, just wondering if anyone can give me a signal report.
Get the call sign of the station calling for the signal report. This is WARAT. Clear.
Yeah, Sam here, KEEEE, up in Flint.
And same here, NHCAF, Mount Clemens.
All right, I appreciate it. Like I said, I just got it set up. But, yep, appreciate the signal report. KF8, SCH, clear.
KE8RUH.
Hey, how are you doing, Anthony?
All right, how about you?
I'm doing cold, although I unfortunately, not knowing we bailed on my coworker, knowing, didn't know he was going to step off and hit another project, and I said, okay, I parked in the front building, he was on the, parked in the back, and I said, okay, I guess I'll see you in the morning. Went on to do some other work. I'm like, okay. Oops.
That's pretty funny. What call was this again? You're pretty low right now.
on here now. K-E-A-R-U-H-W-8-R-E-T. All right, R-I-T, how you doing?
Hello, Anthony. Yeah, that was me answering the other one. Probably a bit unclear. Yeah, I got a program this list here. Actually, both, all three of the FBI. Anyways, take my way home from work. I don't know if you caught it, but I ended up bailing quick. I got a text from a coworker. How we were going to be complete. Not knowing he was going to go do one more task, and I thought we were done, so I said, okay, I'll see you in the morning. And I was parked in the front of the building, he was parked in the back, and he called me about 20 minutes later. You're still here? I'm like, no, I thought we left. So, oops. That's okay. I normally don't do this. But, yeah, anyways, yeah, I was telling Dakota, I got to see about assembling. I'm going to just start off from scratch, I think, here. Get all my panels set up so I know what's where and have everything neat and orderly here in my radio here so I can have it at my fingertips. And then I'm going to see if I do a printed list of my channels so I know what is what. Because I've got some in here that I've been looking at. I've been looking through Chirp and trying to figure out what these repeater pairs are. And they may be just stuff that, you know, I may have gone up to Flint or Saginaw and found a repeater some years or so ago and programmed it in and forgot all about it. So I got somebody in here, it's like, yeah, I gotta just clear the confusion away.
Yeah, I know how that goes. You try to get it so that you can travel with it, and then all that other stuff just becomes jumbled up nonsense in your radio, and there's only a few repeaters you actually talk on, so I definitely know how that goes. I've refined my programming dozens and dozens of times over the past few years.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Yeah, well, I'll probably do it again because the same thing will reoccur up surface. It's kind of the same thing, too. I think it's probably the same case with the majority of us hams, that in time, well, it depends. Like I say, there's some that have a pretty simple setup, but in time, most of us will wonder what the heck happened when we look at behind our radio and say, where is all this spaghetti leading to?
Yep. If not maintained, things get out of control, that's for sure.
Yes, that they will. Kind of got my shack torn apart. I'm going to be about building a little shelf here so I can put my monitors on. I'm going to do a couple minor changes, but I'm going to see about getting everything as best I can, at least at this time, speaking of that, nice, neat, orderly, and professional looking. Started labeling some of my cables and some of that nature, so got some more to do in that. And then I've been telling you guys that it's kind of a window shopping. I got one other product I'm kind of thinking about, but I'm not really certain I want to grab it here, but I don't know if you've heard about it, but Pile Sound, the parametric receive equalizer. I'm kind of thinking about getting one, although the only thing that's really good for is basically just for HF voice, you know, single sideband. As far as I know, it really doesn't have any use for any digital modes on HF, nor anything for DW. And the part that I'm kind of concerned about, well, two parts. First of all, it's quality, I think that. But it's, you know, probably a few hundred dollars I'd have to drop. But then I'm also wondering, because I have a DSP audio filter for my HF setup, and that thing works pretty darn good. I picked it up, I used it at a swap, and a friend of mine, he said it's such a good deal. He was like, you know, just walk. Just in case he changes his mind, just walk away. But, yeah, that DSP is worth its weight in gold for enabling me to dig out some of the weak spaces. So, I'd love it, but I'm just wondering, if I have it hooked up, is it going to kind of, how do I put this, argue with the audio?
audio over the parametric equalizer, you know, for what I want to constrain for bandwidth filtering and such. So I'm wondering if I were to pick this item up for Kyle Sound, if it would be, have some use, but be a little bit more of like a novelty, you know, just a luxury issue, so to speak, you know, something to pick up and it's like, well, those are some bells and whistles that help, but they're not really absolutely required.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know much about the equipment you're talking about, so can't really help you out. It's outside of my scope these days.
Yeah, it's not really my forte either there. Hoping on seeing if I can catch up with another ham radio friend who's pretty good at audio. Haven't heard him out yet, though. I know he's out usually pretty active. I haven't heard him on CHF UHF. Heard him a couple times checking into the RV network on 40 meters, but that's been about it. But yeah, like I say, that's probably something I'm probably gonna hold off on. So. Well, anyways, where are you? I assume you're heading home yourself too, correct?
Yep, I'm just getting on 94 from 696. Almost home.
Where do you work at, if I may ask? Where do you go for your travel time from home and back?
I'm in Troy, Maple, and Stevenson. With all the construction right now, it's about 30 minutes each way.
Yeah, I hear you. I'll be happy when they open up northbound 75 from 696 again. I didn't take their route this morning, but I've usually been trying to find a good way to get from 696 to northbound 75, you know, taking round up to either 12 or 14 or Twitter, Don Arbus, try to avoid those because those have got construction now, and I made a mistake a couple of days ago. I think it was Don Arbus went north, and I was going to pick up a lot more of that around here with construction everywhere, as if we didn't have enough of it already, so have to fix those darn roads, I guess.
Yep, she waited, you know, 7 years into her term to actually start fixing them, so now we're all paying the price.
Yeah, the thing I think of, shoot, I don't want to gloat about it too much. I'm trying to be pleasant talking with you, Anthony, on the way home. Not get the blood pressure up. But, yeah, that's what I think, too. It's like, yep, you wait until at the last second, but then you got to do them all at one time. But I'm thinking I'm probably going to see, everybody's going to start taking different routes. So those routes are going to be slower, you know, the ones that aren't under construction. And then since they're going to be a little more heavily used, it just seems like those will be the ones next to be up for construction. So we'll just have to alternate back and forth, one to the other.
Yep, you know, it's maintenance that needs to be done. So you can only be so upset with it. But it does seem overbearing, and it seems like it's always happening, and as soon as it's done, they're starting over again. And it's like, you know, is it workmanship? Is it materials? What's the problem? Because none of it lasts. The infrastructure is all failing, and it doesn't last once they do fix it. So something's got to give. Somebody's got to come up with a solution.
WHRAT. Well, you can vote for me. I don't know how much good that would do, but I have my own ideas and opinions, I'm sure, just like everybody else. But yes, I do agree with you, Anthony. There's got to be some change made. I think actually there's going to be parts of it that we're going to fix. There are problems in all of the above. I could probably be pretty forgiving on that, but materials, I think maybe we should investigate that and check that out further. You know, maybe people who are a little bit more knowledgeable about the topic. You know, I couldn't tell you the first thing about concrete as far as that goes, really. And then I just thought it was kind of very amazing, though, that when they were doing 696 on our side of town some years back, I recall that they laid the wrong, I guess like the wrong formula, mixer of concrete. And I'm thinking, boy, before you guys started that, didn't anybody check it? You know, would there be some form of, you know, the state coming out to verify it before you start laying it? You know, make sure that you're using the proper materials and such. But I guess they didn't. And I don't know if it really cost them so much, but it, you know, kind of did for some of us by, you know, delaying and all that. But I also kind of wish that they would do it like, I think they do it the same way in Ontario and on Ohio, where I know they do light work too as well. But I also wish that they would do it 24 hours, you know, have three different shifts, so that way you get done and you get out of there. That's the other thing I wish that they would do. Not the construction where you got barrels up for 17 miles and there's only work being done on 2 miles of it. But I just think they should just bite off what they can chew, fix it, and then have, just continue on down the road, just, progressing, step by step, have the next step done waiting for you. But don't do it all at once. Do it in sections, so that way, for that day, you can complete what you started, so to speak. Well, that's just some of my whining writings. When I go on, I'd like to hear some more of your ideas, too, as well. But what would you like to see fixed if you were king for the day?
You could go on for hours, but lucky for you, I'm pulling in the driveway, so that'll have to be a conversation for another day. I will catch up with you soon. This is KE8RUH, and have a good, safe rest of your afternoon.
$5.09 a gallon. Get ready for the recession.
Winning so much it almost hurts.
Connected to CMN Network.
Man, what a crappy year. That's all I gotta say.
What's the best you've seen? I saw it under 4. Lance says he saw it for around 450 something. I'm going to go probably by the sheets. There's a Myers right by the sheets, and they tend to match sheets, and you probably heard me talk about this, and then you get your Myers discount on top of it. Try to get down into the mid to lower 4s.
I used my Kroger card the other day. It was $2 a gallon. I was at Sheetz earlier today, and it was $4.59, so I'll be around that.
Let's see, $4.59. Let me see what the heck I got on, it's really nice when you can find a Sheetz right by Meijer, because Meijer, I don't think Kroger's doing it, but Meijer is matching price with the sheets, so you get that price. You get the sheets price plus your discount, which is really cool.
Well, the guy I saw on YouTube was right. After April 30th, it was on the last shipment. It was destined to arrive to the U.S. The refineries, we don't have refineries, but, a refined oil coming here.
Is gas getting cheaper finally?
Is it? No, I don't think so. I think it's going the other direction. with a looming explosion.
Yeah, it's going the other way.
Yeah, I saw 479 this morning.
Over here at 23 in Gratiot, I'm seeing 509 everywhere. That's the credit card price.
Rats, looks like I only got 20 cents, so I can get 20 cents below sheets. So if you're saying it's 459, I can get it for 439. I mean, I'll take that, but I only have 3,000 points. You know, it's weird. They'll let you do 1,000 points for a dime. They'll let you do 20 cents for 2,000. They'll let you do 50 cents for 5,000, and a dollar off for 10,000. So they'll give you 10 cents off per 1,000 points, but they only let you do it for 10, 20, 50, and a dollar.
Or you could drive 2.5 miles north of the sheets and get it for $3.99 a gallon at Mobil.
Oh, yeah? Where's that? Mobil at what?
16 in Van Dyke.
Hot diggity. Well, that's as good as I've heard. I've not seen nor heard of anything at that price. So, very good.
Well, Van Dyke Convention in Warren, that's got to be next to the sheets, is $3.99. And then if you have the Speedway card, it would be $3.88.
Throw by sheets again, it's $4.99.
Is that for diesel?
I don't know what 88 means, and there's an 88 and an 87. One's $4.99, one's $4.59.
Probably E85. I just drove past Marathon at Hall and Plank, and gas was $4.99, diesel was $5.99.
Yeah, it looks like Speedway, $3.99. 7 hours ago, 3 hours ago, Speedway, $3.99. So Sheets, $3.99, reported an hour ago down here. So if Sheets at 12 and Mound is $3.99, that means that Myers will be $3.99, and I'll get 20 cents on top of that. So maybe there's hope.
That's how you know it's all BS if it swings by a dollar a gallon within 5 miles.
According to Gas Buddy, the cheapest in Michigan's $3.49.
Well, it's always a dollar more in Macomb for some reason. There's like monopolies all over the so can't go by that. But Chesterfield here, it's like $4.99.
So the sheets up at 23 Mile Road that's been there for quite a while, they're no longer trying to bring people in. $4.99. So they're just they just do it for a little bit to get you in there, and then they're just right up there with everybody else.
Yeah, that's the one I just passed, and I can confirm that price.
Yeah, the one down here by the Myers is $3.99. So Myers will be. But oddly, neither one of them is showing up. Well, that's weird. Myers is showing up as $4.99. That can't be right. Myers has been lockstep with Sheets. Sheets is $3.99. That'll be $3.99. Then I'll get my... Well, I'll have to drive by. Not sure how accurate Gas Buddy is. I know most of the time it's good, but who knows.
Costco at Lakeside is $4.29, according to the app.
Oh, yeah, man. I'm looking up around your house. Holy cow. $4.59 is like the cheap one. $4.99 almost everywhere. Get over toward Myers is $4.79 up there. $4.29 down around Grossbeck and 20 north of 59, but phew-wee, they're soaking you guys.
Yeah, Costco is EJ's is $4.29. Trying to see what Sam's is. Yeah, I mean, $4.29-ish. $3.99 sounds like the, you know, right one, whatever. You'll get one good price, and then your next fill-up will be more. KFA does.
Well, at least I know the price to beat. $3.99 is the price to beat. So, there you go. All right, I got to go get changed, and we got to go to a funeral home tonight, so I'm going to go start getting ready. Person that lived very long and had a good life, so it's a celebration of life, I guess. All right, later. WNFU.
You're connected to CMN Network.
KCKJO.
Hey, Dan, how's it going?
Oh, just entering Shiawassee County.
Oh, are you at least going the right direction?
Yeah, I gotta make a pit stop in Inlay City and hook up with Dakota to get his FDM-150 mobile. I'm gonna put that in my interceptor and sell my Elenco.
Oh boy, I already upgraded radios with that.
Well, yeah, in my car I have my Elenco dual bander, and then I got my Motorola UHF DMR 4550. So get the Yaesu, since it's already have one Yaesu program, I could just put the program there minus the confusion. And then everything will be the same kind of thing. Bought a XPR 6550 HT, but CPS 16.0, I can upload it, but because I don't have the 25 entitlement, I can't update it, and I can't use CPS 2.0, because it says that the code plug is not compliant, I guess, or whatever, so I got to update the code plug. Tried updating the firmware and the code plug, and it just sits there on the screen and says ready to load, and it doesn't do anything else. So I don't know if I'm supposed to hit a button or what. So it's another project.
I'll have to see if I can send you the hack for CPS 16-25. Swap out a system file and get the software, I believe it is.
going to sign out of my machine and send it to you.
Yeah, that'd be greatly appreciated. You know, you can send it to me in Discord, and then I'll pull it out, you know, and then I'll download it from there or whatever.
Yeah, hopefully it's not expecting 2.0 now. I don't know. I haven't tried to get a 6552. 6550 also. I've only used 16, I haven't used 2.0 yet.
Maybe I'll just meet up with you over by the office and give you my 6550 and my programming cable and let you go to town. If that's easier. That if you got the hack and got a way to write it down how to do it, then, you know, I'll give it a shot. Shared with you?
No, I
I've been on the phone the whole time. I'll double check. Go ahead, Lance.
Okay, here, Tom's getting new toys.
Yeah, so I'll be
taking my FTM 150 RASP off my hands. So now I'm down to two radios I need to get rid of.
Here we double.
Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, it says ETA to in my city is 1750.
Alright, that shouldn't be a problem. I was just saying, Tom taking my FTM 150 RASP off my hands, and that leaves me with two radios that I need to rehome, and then I'll feel a lot better about myself.
Yeah, so that D750 comes out.
Yeah, should the 150 should match right up with my 310. Yeah, but the 310's Fusion also, so, and the way I looked at it, Dakota's already got it preset, so all I got to do is just change a couple main plates on it for the set on Saturday, and then I'll be good to go.
Yeah, literally the only thing I think you'll need to change is I have my clear node frequency in there. Other than that, it's programmed for this area.
Yeah, I won't need anything extensive on it because, you know, the car is just going to be, you know, local area. If I got to put, you know, the other frequencies in there, I mean, that's no big deal, you know, for rest of Central Michigan. And FBI, that's easy as pie. And it's the same six pin or whatever. Looks like an SMA connector on the back, Dakota.
I've always programmed it with a micro SD card that is inside of it, and I'm including with it, so I just pop that in the computer.
Wow, never thought of that. I forgot I had a SIM card on the side of it. Another advantage of EA2.
Okay, I got the full SD card. You can program with it, but you need the cable for firmware updates.
My biggest complaint about my 2730B, that's one that I might, I don't know if I'm going to. That's a good dual band mobile and it's in a bag, but you got to plug it in with a 3.5 serial cable into one of the speaker ports on the back to program it. It's like, why?
Well, that's the same as my Alinco. You know, I gotta do this hand program, blah blah blah, and then press and it says waiting for it to receive. And I gotta plug in a 3.5 in the back, but I made my own, and it doesn't work. I mean, it's not that hard. I mean, it's ring, tip, and ground. You know, on a 3-pin, and I just couldn't get it to connect. So I'm done with that. I, you know, FTP'd the whole radio. I said, I'll probably take that and put that back upstairs where it was. I'll get back up to my big old Yagi that's up there.
Ugly. I got nothing on that, but I'm pulling in the driveway, so I'll be back out here in a minute at ATVF. Hey, Dakota, real quick. Go ahead.
You know that we're linking up with the 7.2 for their net tonight, right?
Yeah, Tim told me yesterday, and I said, by all means, you know, Let them use it for the set on Saturday. Go ahead and publish the frequency and the PL, whatever. You know, that's what it's there for. Use the crap out of it.
All right. Yeah, I thought I heard you knew, so I just be sure. So I'll be turning that on probably along about 6:30, and then
after it's all done, you know, flipping it back. So, okay, W8FU.
Sounds good, NADDF.
Oh, Lance, you must be in the hole. KTK Joe. I don't know, I'm running on the Durant power right now. Coming through to Lennon. How am I sounding there, Lance? You out of the hole yet?
Currently connected to CMN Network.
Are you back now, Lance? KCKJ.
You still on track for 550, Tom?
I'm stuck over here in, what is it, Schwartz Creek, here on 69. I got my buddy on GMRS through the Motorola.
Alright, well, I got it boxed up, so let me know.
Yeah, I'll let you know when I get to the exit. ABAY, Lance, you still out there? KCKGO.
Someone tell RIT he talks too much. KCKJL. Yeah, okay, that's mobile. So am I. So am I. Right here, about that Alinco DMR radio one more time. Swear to God, I'm going to drive over somebody's house.
I don't know. I'm not on DMR. I'm sitting here.
Sorry, I just about to take, traffic. I hate traffic. Yeah. How do you guys do it every day?
Connected to CMN Network.
We're used to it. And it gets us out of our district twice a week. And gets to meet two new customers. You know, spread the wealth, I guess you could say. I don't mind it.
Yeah, I just feel like I'm always defensive driving. Like, what is this guy doing? What is this guy doing?
Well, I can't go faster than 76, so I just lock in the cruise control 76 and just kind of meander my way out there. Well, we're going back out this way tomorrow because we got five other sites. Got one, Okemo, St. John's, Chelsea, quite a few that we got to go do some modifications of programming for the head end in Battle Creek. And then we're off for the weekend. I got the set on Saturday. Hopefully I can get tie rod end replaced. My neighbor's available. And then Monday, we're going to Sheboygan.
Wow, that sounds like fun. Doing the whole state tour. I mean, I guess you gotta like this now that it's not winter anymore.
Oh yeah, going up to Petoskey in the winter. Whew. When we were up there earlier in the year, and then that snowstorm hit, we literally made it out of there by the skin of our teeth before we got snowed in.
So you don't have, do you have, like, partners up there? Do you have, like, other, like, folks that work for your company, like, up there that you meet up with? Or, like, how does that work? Are you guys pretty much got the run of the state?
Oh, no, there's other techs in the area. I mean, but we had two that just medically retired. We had one last year. He wanted to come back after knee surgery. He's like, I'll use the cane to come back. I'm like, no. And the company's like, no, no, no. And then another guy out of Saginaw, he was forced to medically retire due to basically his brain reset. That's the only way he can describe it, is that his brain reset. No stroke, no heart attack, nothing like that. It's just his brain went dirt, and then, you know, his memory is all messed up. So he had to medically retire. So we just cover wherever they need us on Tuesdays and Thursdays. We hired a new guy. He lives in Reed City, so he'll start taking the north end. And then we got another, another friend of mine that's interested in it, and a position that's out there. So I'm working on getting him in to the company so we can get rolling on the rest of the west side. Well, they just need to give you a promotion and more money because you're training people. Gosh, still hitting the Flint repeater, but I know I'm, you know, chewing on some popcorn here. Yeah, that was only true if I can get more money, but I get perks. Me and my coworker get perks that nobody else gets, so we can pick and choose what we want to do and what we don't want to do kind of thing.
That's good, yeah. I mean, if you've been there for a while and they're doing that for you, that's cool. But yeah, so I found out why the gas was going up, as people don't know already. It's, I guess, a refinery in Indiana. Power went out for a while. I guess they're using that. I don't know if it's an excuse, you know, when that happens, like people just gouge prices for a while, or if there legitimately is a supply strain.
Okay, I got part of that. I have somebody to chirp on another radio. Say that again. I'm sorry. Say shake the deal.
The gas. You know how we were talking about the gas going up? I guess I dug into it a little bit. I guess the Indiana refinery lost power for a little while, and I was just commenting and going, I wonder if it's really a supply issue or they're just using it as an excuse to gouge the prices.
Well, from being around refineries in California, they shut down, and it causes a lot of issues. You know, to sell fuel, but, you know, it's all crude oil. You can't process it as a refinery down, so it just sits there. And the starting cost, oh, it's ridiculous. I don't know, I think it's evil of both worlds, I guess you can say.
Yeah, it's all economic, supply versus demand. All right, I'm going to let you go here. I got to get the mail, and I got to get into the house. So I will listen out, and I'll chat with you later. AFADA. Drive safe.
All right, Dave. I'll talk to you later. I've got to go meet up with Dakota here in about 10 minutes. KKKKL, 73 now.
At ADVF. Well, gas prices are certainly no joke.
No, but I'm already at a half tank.
Well, Thursdays are my day to buy fuel. And I take a bunch, I go to Kroger, I fill up the truck, and then I, whatever else, up to the 35 gallons I put in cans. But man, this is going to be torture.
Yeah, I'm 10 gallons light on rec fuel, so that's going to be like $7 a gallon. I might not even buy that this week, and then the truck's going to need to get filled up. So
It's only money.
Yeah, roger that. In my tank at home, I'm down. That's probably only got 20 gallons. And, yeah, well, yeah, it's only money. I'll get my dollar off at Kroger.
I was just saying this morning, I'm going to have to get a Costco membership. I can finally justify the need for a Costco membership just for fuel.
I guess that's the same for Sampo. How much does Costco want for fuel?
I think their basic membership's only 50 or 60 bucks.
Yeah, roger that. How about the fuel costs right now?
That I don't know, but historically it's always been 30 to 50 cents cheaper, so I imagine right now it's no different.
And ADBF KGO.
Hey, Bay FGS, yeah, go ahead, Cujo.
I'm a little steady to make it in there right then, but I'm about to get up to my city, Minnesota.
All right, I'm like 5 minutes out, and that's what the Valmont repeater is for. KF8FGS, go ahead.
Yeah, I saw the Speedway was $4.95, so I imagine Kroger's typically 20 cents higher. So that would make it, you know, you're 5.15, so with my dollar off, like, I guess I just have to put it in. It's better than having nuclear explosions going off around the world.
Yep, I'll take it. I'll pay for the gas over the other option.
Yeah, I'll pay a little more for fuel. Barbara just looked up at Sam's Club in Utica is $4.19. So we'll see what it is. I'm a mile away from the Kroger store, so we'll see. We might be changing direction.
And
I got it, Tom. I'm almost there. I don't know where you're meeting, but there's a Tractor Supply right there off the exit.
And I'll meet you at CSC.
Sounds good. And switch to 442-125. You'll be able to pound that thing from where you're at. You know, the sad thing is I was paying $4.19 and getting ripped off, and now I'm looking for a pump that says $4.19.
Okay, you can't miss me. I'm in a big white truck. He said 442-125, what's the DL? 107.2. Alright, let's see if I can do some kind of programming on this. Never done it before, so we're going to find out.
I'm here to do a drug deal.
479 at Kroger for regular, 579 for diesel.
I'm in Emily City and it's 479 at Speedway.
Yeah, with the Speedway card, extra 11 cents off.
You're connected to CMN Network.
KCHK, Joe. Let's see how far I get on Almon.
You're a good test subject because I've never ran 69 east of 53. I know that it's not blended going west. You get a couple miles. But I'm curious how far east you'll make it because going north it does well. And going southeast, it does well.
Okay, well, we'll give it a shot. I'll keep, I'll check on it every so often once I get into, Emmett in Memphis. I gotta go see if it's on DMR. Hey,
you said you were able to get into it from your house, right? Tom, did I lose you? Already? NADDO.
N-A-W-R-O, W-8-F-U. Yes, sir. So if I drop things and connect things at 6:30, then you're nuts at 7, right?
Yep, that is correct. Mecca is already disconnected, and that should work. We do our 15-minute check before that, and then a 5-minute, of course, and at 7 it starts.
Okay, I just left the funeral home, so we're gonna go find a place to eat. So I will get that converted over by hopefully by 6:30. And get it connected up somewhere after. I'm not too worried about how long it lasts after.
Hey, copy your last shot. It can go all the way to, like, maybe, you know, 6:50, anywhere in there. And then 6:45, they do the first check. So I'll appreciate that. We'll see how this works. N-A-W-R-O.
Well, if I figure if I get it connected up, you know, 6:30, then people will hear, you know, like as it starts to get near, they'll get an idea of something's coming. Could maybe make an announcement or something like that. So I'm shooting for 6:30, give or take. And then, like you said, when I knock it down, it'll all depend. We're going out to eat. And, after all that, we'll figure it out. I'm not too worried about that part of it. All right, very good. We'll knock her out. W8FU, after yours.
Understood, Sean. And then just to double check, we're going to do dual IDs, K8FBI plus WA8MAC. I think John's got that down pat, though. We're good. N8WRO.
Okay, well, you run it any way you want. That's your show. So, okay, very good. I'm going to drop out here and discuss with my wife a couple of choices for going out to eat, and then I'll tap to it. I'll make an announcement when it's all connected up. So, W8FU.
N8WRO, clear.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network.
K-E-8-W-U-O, K-E-8-W-U-O, from N-A-C-A-F.
K-E-8-W-U-O, go ahead, Cliff.
Yeah, it turned into a slow night, not a lot of orders. I just made my last drop at 15 at Dodge Park. I'm parked at the 7-Eleven. You want to try that DMR simplex?
Yeah, I'm at my QTH right now. You want to wait like 10 minutes for me to get in the car and get over in location?
Well, I'm what, 2 miles from your house? We could try it at this distance.
Gotcha, okay. Well, I don't know that that will give us the answer that we're looking for, but I'll head out to the car and see what we can find out.
All right, copy that. Like I said, I just want to make sure everything's configured correctly and they'll talk to each other simplex, that's all.
Just got outside and I'm going to start up the car and start up the radio. We're doing a 1-4-6-5-8, right?
We can do that one if you want to, but I was hoping to check out the DMR simplex on 441.
Still over here, right?
Yes, I am. But I've got both of them up on this radio.
John, KEAWUONAWRO.
Hey, Tim, I don't think his hotspot makes it from the driveway to into his house.
Understood, Cliff, NAWRO. I just left him a message. He has the two VHF, UHF linked, so he'll have to undo his node to fix that. But he should do that forthwith. Hope you guys have a good test. NAWRO, clear.
Sorry about that.
All right, thanks, Tim. Appreciate it. 73 to you. Thank you, John.
Yeah, as soon as I heard Tim call my name, I knew what was happening. So I dropped everything and ran back downstairs. That one caught me off guard. Sorry about that.
And no worries. We're entitled to at least two of them a year, I think. That was in the bylaws. NAWRO.
Just two? I am so fired. NACAO.
All right, Cliff.
All right, you got everything set up, John?
Not yet. I'm using John AV8OD's radio here, and the thing just has a mind of its own. It's giving me a little bit of troubles. I can do simplex real quick on an HT, but I want to do it right on this other radio. So I got to program it real quick. It's a simple one. It's just a stupid app on the phone. But I'm struggling to change the zone at the moment.
All right, copy that. See, you get all the fun. I'm so jealous.
Yeah, if this thing was a Motorola, I'd have it figured out already. But I'm not real fond of the radios that force you to use an app on your phone. They're just a little bit less intuitive than turning a knob, for me anyway. But we're getting there.
Yep, one step at a time.
I remember the headache it was for me programming that Radiodity radio that I bought. I more than once wanted to round file that thing, and now that I finally get it set up, I'm willing to live with it, and I wouldn't have been willing to live with it if I hadn't got it on sale. They normally want like $460 for that radio. It was on sale for $300, so I'm like, take a chance on it. And then I was regretting my decision.
Yeah. All right. Well, I got it figured out. 14658. I'll see you over there to the flag.
Hey, come back with that frequency again.
It was 146.58. I believe that is our backup simplex frequency. So I assume we should have that in the code pod.
Yes, that I do. I'll be right there. QSY.
QSY. KEAWUO. NACAF from KEAWUO.
Connected to CMN Network.
This is NACAF. Go ahead, John.
Well, I heard you just fine. Everything was perfect. For whatever reason, you're not hearing me. I did bump up the mic gain, as you suggested. I was on medium and then switched to high. I'm going to... So I got two radios here. Right now I'm on the handheld, and I'm going to switch to the same radio, and let me know if you hear me then.
All right, copy that. I had a great signal from you. You're a nice carrier. Everything was dead quiet. There was just absolutely no audio whatsoever. Anyways, QSY to 146.58.
Negative. I was just hoping to test here to ensure that this microphone is working.
All right, copy that. I'm back. That's a nice thing about dual monitor on this. I did hear you, so yes, I'm here and waiting.
All right, well, yeah, this is me on the other, that was me, and this is me on the radio that you are not hearing any audio on. Not really sure why you wouldn't have been hearing me, because you're hearing me over here. And your squelch was opening. So it was hearing a signal, so I don't think a CTS tone or anything like that would have been the problem. We should probably maybe get on Discord and leave everybody alone over here on FBI and try to problem solve off air.
All right, copy that. We can do that, but I am going to suggest one thing. Did you, by any chance, maybe accidentally set a PL tone?
Negative. My RX subtone is off. My TX subtone is off. Both frequencies are 14658 for RX and TX. TX power is high. Bandwidth is 25 kilohertz. But that's it.
All right, now we have a conundrum. Wonderful. I can try to see if I hear you on my handheld because I've got that with me as well. I just don't have it turned on yet. So let me pop that on and take one more shot at it.
All right, we will QSY back over to Simplex, and I'll do the same. I'll test on the mobile, and if you don't seem to hear me, I'll try to transmit on the HT.
All right, copy that. I have my radio on in a second.
K-E-A-W-U-O.
You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.